The crew from Professional Financial Advisors joins us today for our monthly update. We have Mark Mayfield and Mark Workmeister joining us in the studio. Gentlemen, good to see you fellas back in.
Yeah, good to see you. It's been a while for me.
Yeah, it
has. Mark Mayfield's been carrying the weight here the last couple months.
Yeah?
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
all been on your shoulders. No pressure, Mr.
Yes,
Mayfield.
I know.
We have a lot to talk about, though, today, Mr. Workmeister. It's an exciting time of the year. Spring is in the air. Tax season's behind us, so.
Yeah, exciting times moving forward. We've had a good start to the market so far. Yesterday was the tax deadline. Kind of a weird time this year where it's on a Tuesday.
Because was tax day officially Saturday?
Well, it's usually the 15th, and they've been pushing it back based on when it falls on the weekend.
Okay.
But this year they
Saturday
actually
Saturday the 15th?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so tax day was somewhat Saturday, but officially it was Tuesday then?
Officially it was Tuesday,
okay.
So you could still get your returns in, still mail your contributions in. Everything was deadline postmarked Tuesday.
Okay.
Yep. Yep, but yeah, we're looking at markets this morning. Just going to give you a brief update, and then we can go into some other stuff with Financial Literacy Month is in April, too, so we can talk about a few things there. But, you know, we've got a lot of questions, especially after last year. What's the plan going forward? What are we going to do? You know, for those that don't keep up on the markets too much, last year, you know, the markets were down. NASDAQ was down 33%. S&P was down 19. The Dow, which does own more, you know, blue chip dividend paying less growth stocks in it, it was down almost 10, so it did a little bit better. But after last year, and then bonds were down 14% as well. So most people that hold a traditional stock bond portfolio, you know, it's only three times in the last 100 years that they were both down in the same year. And you know, you think about your retirees, your people that are trying to control volatility, and as opposed to, you know, people are used to watching their stocks go down. They weren't used to seeing both sides go down at the same time. So looking forward, you know, we've had a pretty good start to the year as far as the returns go. There's a lot of things still out there we got to keep our eye on. But, you know, year to date, the S&P is up 7. International has actually outperformed 2 years in a row. I mean, if you count so far this year and last year. And I know a lot of people, you know, I think, number one, they get a little scared because they think international, they think China, they think Ukraine, they think Russia, they think
sure.
all of those headwinds. But
that's where your mind immediately goes to is the recent headlines.
Yep, but there's still a lot of large Fortune 500 type companies overseas. And it's not so much that, you know, in my opinion, I mean, they've outperformed, but they didn't go up nearly like the U.S. did in the last 5 years. You know, everything is so overpriced in the U.S. right now. Goldman Sachs had a number that said we're still like in the 81st percentile as far as what we have to pay to own a stock in the U.S. So things are still really expensive in the U.S. But that being said, international stocks are up over 10 this year. The NASDAQ's leading the way. So it was the worst performer last year, best performer this year, which kind of goes back to why you diversify, why you don't chase returns. You know, you don't throw out your losers. You actually buy your losers and sell your winners. You know, when people talk about rebalancing, that's a pretty simple thing that most people can do to gain a little bit of excess return. So you
sure.
go in and target your percentages. And so, like I said, the net result is you're selling winners and buying losers. So NASDAQ's up 15 this year. Bond index has rallied a little bit. It's up a couple percent despite the Fed continuing to raise rates. So we'll see what happens on that front. May 3rd is the next day when they'll change their target Fed funds rate. I think last night I read it's about 88%. So the market's pricing in an 88% probability that they're going to raise it 25 basis points, which means there's a 12% they won't do anything, which could help the markets a little bit. But yeah, there's a lot going on right now.
And for some of our younger individuals, Mark, this is a concerning time too, because they may be watching their 401ks go up and unfortunately go down the most that they ever have before.
Yeah, that's certainly, I think I made the comment to Mark the other day. We were doing some 401k reviews, and it seems like the younger participants, since this is their first time maybe seeing a major drawdown in the market, they're panicking,
sure.
kind of wanting to know what to do. But for someone who's, you know, a long-term investor, someone who has, you know, at least 10 years, but a lot of them 20 to 30 years, now's a good time to potentially even get a little greedy and increase your contributions to what you're into your 401k, because your dollar cost averaging into a market that's going down, with the idea that you don't need that money for 20 to 30 years. So let's just let it ride, stay true to what allocation we've put in place, and it'll pay dividends long term by just holding and not trying to, you know, time the market and what's going to happen.
Mr. Workmeister, Mark brought up a good point that a lot of our younger individuals are concerned because their 401ks are going down. They're coming to you guys and saying, hey, fix this. But the good news is these younger individuals, they have time. This isn't a, you know, obviously they're concerned seeing this happen for the first time. So it's a legitimate concern, but they have time on their side if they're younger. Are some of the older individuals that are closer to retirement or even in retirement coming to you with a bit of a panic too? Because even though they've maybe seen this happen before, they're down to what I would call closer to crunch time.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of both sides of the issue. So on one side, yeah, the retirees can't afford to lose as much. They don't have as much time. They need to sell shares right now, so they're not a buyer. They're actually a seller to create income for themselves. So it's much more important that you're diversified going into this beyond just stocks and bonds. So that's one side of it. But on the other hand, I will tell you, and I've told Mark this, you know, most of those folks in retirement have been investing, at least most of our clients, for a long time. They've seen this before. And so there's not near as much handholding on the markets themselves. It's more about building a strategy that will work through these markets because they've seen it. They've been down. They've been through 08 when they lost 30%. They've been through the dot-com crash. You know, they've been through those times. So they, you know, they're not as nervous about the markets themselves because they've seen it. They just want to know that they have a plan in place. And I would say so many retirees, you know, they kind of go through the motions for so long, you know, for 20 years, you're dollar cost averaging, like Mark said, you're buying into your 401k, you're buying shares, you're listening to people like us say buy low, you know, and then they get to that point where they got to flip a switch and it's all foreign. You basically got to relearn. So all those things that you've been told to do, you know, all of a sudden we're saying don't do them, you know, mm-hmm. We got to do it differently. So I think it's more of a learning curve on just getting comfortable with the plan going forward as opposed to the markets. Because like I've said, most retirees I talk to aren't concerned about the markets. They've seen it. They've seen much worse. They know it's going to happen now. They know it's going to happen again. And, you know, to Mark's comment for the younger people, it's an old saying. You know, I've heard it when I first started in this business, and it still rings true, that stocks are the only things that when they go on sale, everybody runs out of the store. You know, if you're a younger investor, it still comes back to the price you pay.
Sure.
It doesn't matter whether you're buying real estate or stocks or bonds or whatever. I mean, would you rather pay $150,000 for your house or $100,000 for your house? It's the same with stocks. You know, the lower price you can pay, the stronger your returns are going to be.
Mark Workmeister, Mark Mayfield, joining us for our monthly update with Professional Financial Advisors. And we have a lot more to discuss. April is Financial Literacy Month, as Mr. Workmeister brought up a couple of days ago. We'll talk more about tax time. But before we take a break and have you gentlemen hang out with us for a few minutes, I forgot to ask, for folks that haven't heard about PFA before, Mr. Workmeister, they haven't heard of CHAP before, what is Professional Financial Advisors? What kind of services are offered?
Yeah, PFA, we are a registered investment advisor. So this is actually our 20th year in business. And what that means, a registered investment advisor is a firm that is licensed to give financial advice for a fee. So, you know, as opposed to people have probably heard of like a Series 7 or a broker dealer or things like that, where they are selling mutual funds for commissions or annuities for commissions. A registered investment advisor simply charges a fee for our advice, and then we can still manage the money, we can still make trades, we can still do all that, but it's on a flat fee basis. So we provide, at the core of what we do is financial planning. I would say over 3/4 of our clients are near retirement or in retirement, and we do specific retirement planning, which includes managing the money, creating income streams, helping with Medicare, helping with Social Security, helping with pension, helping with estate planning, all that stuff. But then we also, and Mark kind of leads this up for us, Mark Mayfield, we also handle 401ks and group retirement plans. And so I think, you know, that's an advantage that we've had since he came on board, is we actually have somebody specifically dedicated to group retirement plans. So we give our clients who have those plans a lot of attention. So setting up 401ks, working with their employees, really kind of getting them started out, you know, on the right foot. Those are the two biggest services we offer. We have some one-off. We do manage some institutional money. We do some work for nonprofits. Some things like that, but the core of our business is retirees and group retirement plans.
And there's no fee in regards to today's advice too, Mr. Mayfield. It's on the house today.
On the house today, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And PFA has a rich history of having a Ramsey Smart Bester Pro in-house too. Mr. Workmeister had that title for a number of years, and that's gone to you now, Mr. Mayfield.
Yeah, so when I joined PFA back in 2020, I went through the vetting process to kind of take over the Ramsey Smart Vester Pro. So our territory is, I believe, from Lexington all the way west to kind of eastern Colorado. and pretty much anywhere north and south in between there in the state of Nebraska. So a big territory. People go through his website looking for advice. Oftentimes it is someone who's just kind of getting started, who's following, his baby step process. So we work with a lot of people who are just getting started and need some basic advice in terms of what types of accounts to use, how to invest. But through that process also comes some, people who have been doing it themselves for many years. They've been utilizing 401k or they set up brokerage accounts, Vanguard, Fidelity, and they're just tired of doing it themselves and kind of want to, they trust Ramsey, they trust the brand, and are kind of looking to offload some of that when they get into retirement.
We have more with our monthly update with professional financial advisors coming up next on KODY's Mugs in the Morning. We'll talk about how April is Financial Literacy Month after the break. Welcome back to Mugs in the Morning on KODY, 1240 AM, 106.1 FM, both proud members of the Husker Radio Group. We have Mark Workmeister and Mark Mayfield joining us on behalf of professional financial advisors for our monthly update with PFA. And we talked a lot about an update on the market just a couple minutes ago with Mr. Workmeister. Got the Reader's Digest of what is PFA as well, and talked a little bit about the SmartVestor Pro program. But all this kind of ties in with the fact that April is Financial Literacy Month. And what does this mean for the average individual, Mr. Mayfield?
Yeah, so financial literacy is basically just the ability to, understand and use kind of what it would be considered basic financial skills. So, creating a budget, understanding, investing, which, compound interest, time value of money, those types of things. And so what I've noticed this year in particular is there's been a big, push letting people know about financial literacy, because it seems like the younger generation and a lot of generations in general, over the last 20 years, different financial products have changed so much in the way, how we pay for things and the store has changed. So there's kind of been a push to bring awareness to financial literacy and kind of what that entails of. So just kind of one example is, back in the early 2000s and mid 2000s, primarily cash was king. It was what was primarily used, to purchase goods and services. And a recent study done by Forbes here in February showed that, only 10% of purchases now are done using cash. 54%, using debit cards, and then the rest is on, credit cards. So, and what they're finding, with credit cards is that they're easy to apply for. You generally will get a lower APR initially when you apply, but then most people don't know what, interest rate they're paying on that money once they borrow. So, there's a push, to make people understand, what interest are you paying. The average balance, I believe, carried on a credit card today is around $5,400. So with the Fed raising rates, that's having a significant impact, on what people are paying in terms of interest. Even if you didn't buy anything, your balance is still going up overnight, essentially. So that's kind of one of the main things that we see, with financial literacy. Having a lack of knowledge around financial literacy can have a damaging impact, on the success of your financial plan going forward.
Sure.
If you don't understand investing, you don't understand compound interest and the benefits of starting early or even contributing, you'll see people who start, late in their late 40s, they haven't saved up until that point, but now they're starting to realize that, oh, I should have started this, 10, 20 years ago when I first started working. So
bit of an oh crap moment.
Right. So, for some things people can do, to help improve, their financial situation, setting a budget, understanding what income you have, what expenses you're paying, and then, managing debt. So if you have a significant amount of debt on credit cards, develop a plan to help pay that, get those debt payments lowered or paid off. And then invest in your future. Take advantage of, employer-sponsored 401ks or retirement plans. At a minimum, get the match. We'll oftentimes see, people who don't participate at all, they waive their right to participate in the plan, which doesn't really make a lot of sense. You're getting 100% rate of return day one on your money. If you put in 4%, they're giving you 4% back. And so take advantage of those and then consider funding, other IRA, Roth IRA accounts that'll be beneficial to you, going forward.
And two, with this financial literacy, Mr. Workmeister, Mark hit a lot of great things on the head there, but if you're not set up for financial success, we're talking about something that's going to impact you for years, decades to come. But that's going to have an impact, too, on your descendants.
Well, yeah, when you talked earlier about time, time is the great equalizer in the finance world because of compound interest.
Sure.
It can either work for you or it can work against you if you're holding a lot of bad debt. And so you think about the amount of money. There's a chart that we use when we're giving presentations to younger people specifically. But basically you can save a couple $1,000s a year for the first 10 years and have the same amount of money as if you wait 10 years and then save the same amount of money for the next 20. And that's because of the compound interest. So starting early with these decisions, I think some people feel like maybe it doesn't apply to them, but there's different levels of financial literacy that applies to everyone. For some people, like Mark said, it's just simply creating that budget, trying to live within your means.
Sure.
For other people, it's maybe a little bit more complex, calculating, your APR, calculating your interest, seeing how much true cost you have versus how much principal you're paying. I think a lot of people look at their mortgage as one big cost, but really there's property taxes, which you'll always have to pay if you're escrowing. There's insurance, which you'll probably always pay. There's principal payment, which really you're just giving yourself, you're moving it from one side of the balance sheet to the other. And then there's your true cost, which is your interest cost, and understanding how that rate affects your actual expense and what you're actually paying the bank for that loan versus, looking at it as just one big payment. There's a lot of times people will get down to those last few years of their mortgage, as an example, and they just want to write a check and pay it off. And that's fine if people do that. But if you really break down the numbers, that's the least expensive time to have your mortgage. Because if you look at how much is going to principal and how much is going to interest, there's not a whole lot that you're paying to have that loan. Versus early, if you can pay extra early on, like you said, it really starts to snowball fast. I was thinking of the snowball when you were talking about the debt with the Ramsey stuff. I'm not sure what
snowball.
That signature term is, but it's snowball something.
Yeah,
where you're paying off the highest interest rate first, and then you move all those payments to the next highest interest rate and things like that.
Yep, the debt snowball, right?
Yeah.
So, Mr. Mayfield, you talked about how we've transitioned into more of a plastic society, less cash, more card. And one thing that's more common, too, in today's world is not even using the card, using the phone. Now, I understand that's connected to the card, but that's been an interesting change as well.
Yeah. The study by Forbes actually kind of broke that down into what was actually used by card versus what was used by, the AirPay or whatever they would call it.
Sure.
With your phone. And so that, for the credit card and debit card purchases, that was actually close to about half of those. What those percentages were, people are paying more with their phone. It's just way more, convenient to just carry a phone around versus a wallet and run the risk, like myself, of leaving my wallet on a table somewhere or losing it. So that has definitely made it more convenient, but I think it's also probably, created some bad spending habits for consumers because it is so easy to just, tap your card
yeah.
or your phone on the pay or, on the machine to pay. Versus rather than actually handing the cash over the counter.
And that was kind of common too, Mr. Workmeister. You remember this better than we will. That was kind of a common concern too early on with the debit and credit cards, I think, as well, is that it was going to be so much of an easier, smooth transaction opposed to actually handing that cash over, counting that out, and actually realizing this money's coming from my hand to another hand.
Yeah, and that's why, when you're going through those baby steps, that's why Ramsey always says, use the envelopes, use cash, things like that, because people definitely spend more when they're putting on a card, just like we were joking around with financing the Chipotle burrito.
Yeah.
It's like, I am definitely going to upgrade my burrito if I can spread it out over 10 payments, right?
Yeah. And we, some of our off-air conversations kind of need to be recorded too for this. We've got some good off-air conversations.
Yeah. And it's kind of amazing to me watching it unfold over time, because I remember 10 years ago they were talking about Google and Apple and how they were going to completely disrupt the finance industry. And 10 years now, we have Apple Bank, and mm-hmm. they're really trying to take advantage of what they really specialize in, which is the user experience.
Yeah.
I mean, they're trying to take a very good user experience and pass it on to online banking. And when I've seen some numbers, I don't have them in front of me, but they were talking about how, people under 30 are much more willing to bank online as opposed to needing a local branch. Now granted, those people probably aren't dealing with a lot of loans and more sophisticated banking issues.
Sure. Maybe just checking
and savings. Right. And we've seen it with the Robin Hood thing and the investing. And so it's, I don't know if those trends will continue, but it definitely is, it definitely is disrupting industry for the younger people, for sure.
Now, Mr. Workmeister, we talked a little bit about this earlier, but yesterday was tax day. Tax season is kind of coming to its conclusion now.
Yeah, yesterday was the last day, so hopefully you file an extension or you're going to be paying some penalties. You know, every year for us, it's a lot of retirement plan contributions. It's a lot of last-minute planning. It's, you know, early in the year, it's more about helping the people that are actually on the ball get their 1099s and get all their tax documents to them. And then, you know, the last week or so, it's more about people dropping in last-minute checks, talking to CPAs, making sure everything's in order for these last-minute returns or even extensions. You know, I filed an extension, but I still had to send in the estimates and everything yesterday. So, you know, it's a busy time of year in our world, but it's really a good time of year in the finance, you know, kind of ties in with financial literacy month, just because it's top of mind. Everybody's thinking about it. You know, it's a lot easier when you're doing your taxes, you know, think about what are you actually paying in taxes? How can you save taxes? How can you save more? How does saving in retirement plans actually, you know, it doesn't, you know, if you save a dollar into a retirement account, it doesn't actually cost you a dollar up front. In the end, it'll cost you a dollar, but it'll actually save you 20 to 30 cents up front. So looking at all those different issues, you know, and keeping an eye out for what tax law changes are coming too. You know, it seems like in the last, since 19, it seems like every year there's been tax changes of some kind. And
yeah.
Some people are caught off guard at the end because, you know, you're kind of outside, out of mind until you go to file your return. And I know that, you know, Mark Mayfield's been working a lot with people on W-4s and things like that, trying to figure out the right withholding. You know, we do that every year with retirees. You know, once they get their taxes done, we go back and figure out if we have to withhold more out of their distributions or not. So it's like I said, it's a good time to just kind of think about your big picture because all the taxes and everything's top of mind.
Now, a lot of people getting some tax refunds. Some of them have already come in, Mark. Some of them might be expecting them in the near future. This is not free money, but this is money that can make a difference.
Right. Yeah. As Mark said, you know, for the W-4, we'll have people who call in and say, you know, how do I, you know, I got a huge refund. I'd rather that be part of my paycheck throughout the year rather than get a refund. So how do I get that to be kind of a wash? Or flip side of it, you know, you have people who are calling in saying, I now, for whatever reason, owe a bunch of money in. I haven't previously owed in. What happened? You know, what can I do? So, you know, using the IRS website has an IRS tax withholding tool that is really beneficial for anyone who's single or married. Go through that with your spouse. Include all of your different sources of income. And it'll actually generate a W-4 for you that you can turn into your employer. But for those who get an actual refund, you know, there's, as Mark said, with tax season, different, you know, your financial situation kind of becomes top of mind. You start looking at, you know, what are you paying? Where can you start saving more? And with Financial Literacy Month, you know, one of the things they talk about that, and so does Dave Ramsey, is the importance of having an emergency fund. So, you know, right now it's estimated that less than one quarter of Americans actually have a proper or fully funded emergency fund, which, just as a general rule of thumb, that's 3 to 6 months of, you know, income need.
You start with $1,000, right?
$1,000 initially.
Okay.
Yep. Yep. But to fully fund your emergency fund is, you know, that's the target, is to get 3 to 6 months. So.
And that's not a requirement. It could be more than 3 to 6 months too, right?
Correct. Yeah. Yeah. Depending on, you know, your situation and, you know, what your expenditures are like. But, you know, that's a good place for individuals who are getting some sort of, you know, return is, you know, look at boosting your savings. There's a lot of temptations, you know, different car dealerships run, you know, specials, or there's specials wherever, different financing available, bring your refund here. And so, you know, take care of yourself first, pay yourself first, and build up your emergency fund. Another option is obviously pay down high credit cards. The average credit card rate, APR, right now is just over 24%. And so that's up about 6% since last November. A lot of that has to do with the, you know, the Fed's raising interest rates, and also has to do with that there's not really a cap on what credit card companies can charge in terms of a interest rate on your, you know, for your credit card debt. So, you know, pay those down. Again, I had mentioned earlier, $5,400 is the average balance. So pay those down with some of your refund. Or there's the 30-40-30 rule, which is, you know, 30% down towards your debt payments, 40%, you know, to whatever you want. So that could be something you want to purchase or an emergency fund. And then the other 30, you know, invest in your future, invest in retirement plans, college saving plans for kids, or, you know, even just save for a vacation if that's kind of what you want to plan for in the future.
And if folks had to pay in this year, obviously it's too late to do anything about that now, but there is the possibility to make a difference about that moving forward, I would imagine.
Yeah, I would say if you have questions, a good source is always, you know, a CPA or an accountant. They can give you the best direction or, you know, some help in terms of what you should be doing for, you know, changing W-4. You know, we can use the website on the IRS. But if it comes down to, you know, you just need to be making an additional or fully funding a traditional IRA or increasing, you know, your 401k contributions, we can sit down and take a look at that and go over what options are available to you, you know, for this year so that that doesn't continue to happen.
Well, Mr. Mayfield, Mr. Workmeister, we have a couple minutes left. Anything else you gentlemen like to add this morning?
I don't have anything.
I don't know. Do we have anything on our list?
We were talking a little bit too off the air about spring cleaning. You could do a little bit of spring cleaning too with your finances, Mark.
Yeah, I guess this is one thing we could plug is our we've started a PFA Retirement Insight. So if you go to our website, there's a subscription. What you get with that is a weekly newsletter that has, you know, some different topics. Some are just kind of fun reads, and others, you know, are around retirement planning, tax planning, different things like that. And so in this week's newsletter, there's a checklist kind of for, you know, spring cleaning your finances, which basically just goes over, you know, review your insurance policies, make sure you have the proper amount of coverage, you know, review estate documents to make sure that the people you have listed are, one, still alive to be your PR or your executor, and that they're still willing to do it. So there's some good information and different things that you can be doing right now while tax season, again, is front of mind in your financial situation. It's a good time to just take a quick look at everything.
And with April being Financial Literacy Month too, Mr. Workmeister, no time like the present to make an appointment with PFA and maybe get down to brass tacks, maybe do a refresh, or maybe just start your relationship with PFA.
Yeah, you know, we set aside time every week to meet with new folks that call in, so we're definitely available. You know, and that the financial the literacy kind of tying into that too, what we're doing with the Retirement Insights, it's relatively new. We've always sent out information, but this is a little different. You know, one unique thing we're going to start doing is actually, whether it's a whiteboard presentation or doing a screen share of some kind, we're actually going to go through some case studies and walk through other people's cases. Obviously keep it anonymous, but walk through and show how things that other people were doing, the recommendations we made, the impact that it caused, and just kind of give people real life examples, because I think some of this is, you know, it just kind of goes over your head unless you can apply it to your own situation.
Sure.
You know, the old knowledge is power, if you remember that saying. I went to a financial planning thing one time. They always talked about, you know, knowledge is not power. Knowledge plus action is power. Because if you don't take any action, you know, that knowledge is really not put to use. So being able to see how some of these real life cases, how some of these things you don't even know exist, you know, you don't know what you don't know, how they impact people. I feel like it's going to be pretty interesting to a lot of people.
And Mr. Mayfield, for folks that want to hear our previous conversations or maybe hear this one back a later date, they can always do so with PFA as well, right?
Yeah, go to our website, pfaretire.com, and then there's a little tab across the top that's the PFA Learning Center. So in there we have the recorded replays of this show along with some different blog posts that are posted every couple of weeks. And some other important resources there.
Well, gentlemen, we appreciate the time as always. Look forward to seeing you guys in the studio again next month.
Yeah. Thanks, Tristan.
Thanks, Tristan.